Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Gary Carnevale. Thank you for listening tonight. First up is comic Jason Stewart, who will perform at Sonoma County Pride special event June 18th at the Charles Krug Winery in St. Helena. Later, I'll chat with writer E. Thornton Goode, Jr. about his new book, Metaroot. But up first, Greg Moralia and Outbeat Radio News.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of May 16, 2021. A young gay man was brutally beheaded in Iran in an alleged honor killing committed by his half-brother and other male relatives. According to a report in Iran International, Alireza Ali Fazeli Mafared, who's 20 years old, was killed after his family learned he had been exempted from military service because of his sexual orientation. Mafared reportedly feared his family members and was planning to move to Turkey to live with his partner before he was lured into a remote location in a village of Borumi and beheaded. Mafared's partner, Ajil Bayat, said that Mafared had already moved out of the home because he feared his family. When Mafared returned home to pick up a card from the military notifying him of his exemption from service, he was told his father wished to speak with him. The two half-brothers and two other men then drove him to a remote location in the village of Borumi where he was allegedly murdered and his body dumped. After cutting off his head and discarding his lifeless body by a tree, Bayat said the killers then called Mafared's mother and told her where she could find the body of her only son. She was reportedly hospitalized with shock upon hearing the news. And here in the U.S., the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that police in the city of Atlanta have issued an advisory for Grindr users to be careful in the wake of at least 8 instances in which men using the popular dating app were lured to an out-of-the-way place and robbed. Police say that there could be as many as 3 suspects using the same motive around the city. In each case, the suspects used fake profiles, complete with photos of men other than themselves, engaged their victims in conversation, and then arranged for an in-person meeting. After the date concludes, the suspect then robbed the victim, often taking their wallets, keys, and even their vehicle. Sergeant Rodney Jones of the Atlanta Police Department said that in one instance, a victim said he was carjacked by someone he met on the app after picking up the suspect and driving him to an area off Hightower Road. Shortly after they arrived, however, his date pulled out a gun and told him, "Give me your car and everything you got." An investigator said they've linked multiple robberies to a specific Grindr profile. Atlanta police issued a statement advising users of Grindr to find a partner or friend that you trust that you can notify when you're going to meet somebody off the app. And with Pride Month starting in just a couple of weeks, now's a great time to visit some LGBTQ history. And the new Pride docuseries airing on the FX network starting this week is a great place to start. The 6-episode miniseries, made by 6 different directors, covers 6 decades of history, comes to life through stunning and deeply touching interviews and archival footage of more than a half century of struggles and achievements of LGBTQ leaders, activists, artists, and just everyday people who became pivotal in the civil rights and equality movement. The limited series spans the FBI surveillance of homosexuals during the 1950s and the Lavender Scare to the culture wars of the 1990s and beyond. And here locally, Sonoma County Pride organizers are still in need of volunteers to help out with this year's expansive Pride celebration that begins on June 1st and includes events every week throughout the month of June, concluding on June 30th. Some of the most notable events include a drive-through parade at the Graydon Casino on June 5th, a Wizard of Oz sing-along on June 19th, and a concert at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds with Todrick Hall on June 26th. This really only touches some of the great events that promise something for everyone, including families. Sonoma County Pride organizers will be with us on Outbeat News in Depth this month. That's coming up next Sunday right here on KRCB Radio. In the meantime, you can sign up to be a volunteer and learn more about this year's Pride celebration by going to sonomacountypride.org. And also coming up this week on Thursday, May 20th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., the North Bay's LGBTQI Families Coalition is hosting a webinar titled, "Is Foster Parenting for Me?" Nick Lawrence, who's the director of the Tools for Life Incorporated and the former director of the Foster and Kinship Care Education Program at Santa Rosa Junior College, and also a foster adoptive parent of some 25 years, will be answering questions on how foster parenting works, what actually happens in the foster care process, and what your obligations will be. You can learn more at northbaylgbtqifamilies.com. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the LGBT news headlines we're following, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
I'd like to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
Comic Jason Stewart is a prolific character actor, writer, and producer who has more than 250 stage, TV, and film credits. He'll bring his stand-up comedy to Sonoma County during Pride Month with a performance at Charles Krug Winery in Napa on June 18th. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Your bio is incredible. Lots here to talk about. But let's start with your autobiography, Shut Up, I'm Talking. What prompted you to get it all down on paper?
I was talking to a producer friend of mine, a radio producer friend of mine, Dan Duffy, and he had written a book called The Half Life, you know, The Half Book. And we hadn't talked. I'd done his show in St. Louis a lot when I was working there, and then I'd also done Collins and everything, and we had kept in touch and through Facebook. And he sent me the book. I absolutely loved it. It was so funny and touching, and it's about this straight guy and his family, and he'd gotten cancer, and how he recovered, and just everything about it. I just fell in love with him, and I'd known him for years, but, you know, didn't know very much about him personally. And after I read the book, I called him. I said, you know, this book is great. I just wish someone would help me write mine. He said, I'd love to. That's it.
Nice.
We spent the whole year of 2018. We spent that whole year, 2018, and 2019, writing it through Skype. And then he had flown in. I paid him to fly, bought him a ticket to come to LA for a weekend. And then we literally wrote half the book that weekend. One weekend he came and just stayed, and we just wrote for 3 days. And it was just great fun. He's just a great guy. And the title was supposed to be called I'm Not Barbara Streisand. and I got this publisher, CCB Publishing, that said they wanted to publish the book. They said, oh, the title, she's writing a book and she'll sue us. And I said, great, free publicity, yeah. Now, I said, is it all publicity, good publicity? So then I called my mother on the phone. I said, Ma, they won't let me use the name and I love it so much. She says, oh, honey. I said, you've got to think of it. Can you think of anything? And she goes, I don't know. I said, well, you've known me my whole life. You should be. And she said, look, shut up, I'm talking. Shut up, I'm talking.
That's great.
Bush family where, you know the old Lenny Bruce joke. I was 5 years old until I didn't know my name was Shut Up.
That could be an Italian joke too. I'm Italian. There's that strong connection between the Italians and the Jews, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I guess early on we were in the same ghettos. At what point in your career did you come out, or were you sort of always out? Certainly you probably weren't out in 1977 when you first appeared on TV.
Well, no, I didn't come out. I started my career, and I couldn't basically get arrested. I remember going to the open call for the Francis Ford Coppola film, The Outsiders, in the 80s, and I remember them looking at me like I was insane, going, no. And then I so many things. So many people telling me that I was biting my loafers or you should wait till you get older. You're going to be this great character. I don't hear that in your 20s. And then I remember I had a manager at the time who I basically talked and handling me. And she said, you're so funny. You stand up. And I said, no, I'm an actor. She said, what? I said, I'm an actor. Great character actor, like all the people, like Dustin Hoffman and all the people that I love. And basically, she she talked me into doing stand-up. I went on stage, I started doing stand-up. And then after around years, I really couldn't move into being a headliner because I didn't have a point of view other than being crazy, crazy hair and all these crazy clothes. And people couldn't really get who I was. And if you want to be a headliner, you really have to go into it. You have to be yourself and you have to be able to share who you are. And then I did a film called Kindergarten Cop, and I played a hairdresser to the villainess. And at the screening of that, Ivan Reitman, the director, who was one of the biggest directors at the time, Ghostbusters, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, you know, and I was lucky to have this really great scene. And he walks by Ivan Reitman at this casting crew screening and says, "You're still in the movie." And I said, "Oh, great. I didn't even know I was even being, there was a problem." And I said, "Great." And I saw the movie and I had two lines. One of them was off camera and the other one was like 2 seconds. And then you saw me in the background. I was basically a glorified featured performer. And it was so disappointing to me. And I thought, wow, I can't even get a part with it that's actually sustainable. And I was so depressed. And I decided, well, in order to become a bigger headliner, what I really need to do is I need to come out. I need to be myself. I need to start talking about my own life. I sent releases to all the popular talk shows at that time, which were Geraldo, Phil, Oprah, Sally, and Jenny. And everybody, Oprah didn't call, and Phil didn't call. Geraldo at the time was the biggest show, and Sally called, Sally Jesse Raphael. So I came out on the Geraldo Rivera show in 1993 in an episode called Unconventional Comedians. I was one of five comedians who had think about them. One of them was hearing impaired. One of them was a little person. One of them was a woman who'd lost a lot of weight. One of them was at the time when they an angry black man.
Geraldo covered all the bases, right?
Exactly.
So talk about your Amazon series, Smothered.
Oh, my God, yes. I have a series on Amazon. It's called Smothered. It's about these two guys who have been in a 30-year relationship who hate each other and can't afford it. I co-star in it. I co-produced it. I co-created it with Mitch Hara. And it's on Amazon, it's on YouTube, it's on Reverie, it's on Apple TV, it's on Android TV, it's on Zush, Glich, Gach, Gulch, Gach, whatever it is. There's 7 5-minute episodes, and you'll laugh out. We have some wonderful guest stars, and they're in therapy, basically, trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out how to stay in this ridiculous relationship.
It sounds great. It sounds great.
We're working on the second season now after they rob a bank. it's based in reality. If you like David O. Russell films like The Silver Lining Playbook, you'll like this. It's very much in that style. They do crazy things. They're really very grounded, insane people.
Nothing like you in real life, of course.
Honestly, no, because he's a total victim. He's like a total victim, and he's always married to someone he doesn't want to be with, yet he loves him. And I guess a lot of people can sort of relate to that after COVID.
Exactly. Cooped up for a year with your spouse or partner.
Year and a half, yes.
Year and a half, exactly. So what other projects, what other films or TV shows are you appearing in?
This fall, I think I will be in an episode. I think I know, but I'm not sure what the date is. Billy Bob Thornton has a series on Amazon that's called Goliath. It's about sort of crazy kind of off-the-cuff lawyer that Billy Bob plays. Billy Bob Thornton, Academy Award winner, of course. The big art guest, A. Simmons, Oscar winner. Bruce Dern is all on the show, Academy Award nominated actor. Halle Jo Osment from, I hear I see dead people. He's from The Sixth Sense. And of course, then there's me. have the board of directors at a pharmaceutical company. I have a guy named Charles, and I really love J.K. Simmons and Bruce Dern, and I'll be on it in episode 6 of season 4.
Wow. Old Bruce Dern. My goodness.
Yes. They took their Oscars, and I, of course, brought up that I was nominated for the Silicon Beach Festival for Best Actor, and I actually won. That, but you know, the problem was there was no beach. And then I brought up the sad news that I was nominated for the Glitter Award for Best Supporting Actor for Coffee Date, but did not win. But we're all just so interested in hearing about my awards.
That's great. And you've got a comedy album out titled
I'm the Dad Andy.
I love it. It's hysterical.
In the gay community, the daddy means. It's sort of the, I don't know, how could you explain this? I guess it's in a straight relationship, it's more the male part of it. That's all I'm saying. But it's just a cute little thing. You know, it's a cute little thing that I used to say in my act, and I thought it would be great. And it released a Spotify, tunes, and everything. And I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud. It's nice to have an album out. And, I just heard the other day that three of the tracks are being played on XM radio.
Wow.
Sirius X, which doesn't happen all the time. Usually they just pick one, but apparently they like three of mine, so that was really cool. And I can even tell you this, that Smothered is now on the list to be nominated for an Emmy. So if you don't have a show that's with a big network, you have to be verified and you know, they go through your underwear drawer. And, we are nominated for an Emmy for Best Short Form Comedy Series and Best, both of us are, Mitch Hara and myself are on the list to be nominated for Best Actor. So if there are any Academy members out there when this comes up in July, vote for us.
Excellent. So talk about the comedy routine you're going to bring to Sonoma County June 18th.
I talk about everything. I talk about dating. I talk about my mom. I live next door to my 84-year-old mother. You know, still shops at Forever One. During COVID, I've become that guy that lives at the end of the block, you know, that people whisper and say, oh, that's where Jason Stewart lives. He never found... He's alone. And kids throw their balls on my grass. You know, I keep... And they can come over.
Because you've got the candy.
Yeah, I talk a lot about my mom and our relationship. And my mother loves... She's obsessed with shopping at Ross Dress for Less. That's where she is right now. She's there for 2 hours. I'm not kidding. Last week she brought back 3 blouses. They all had 3 arms. I said, Mom, there are 3 blouses, 3 different colors, 3 arms. She says, crap, I'll make a bow out of it. They were all $1.99 each. So that's what my life's about. Maybe being nominated for an Emmy. I have films, television, comedy albums. And when she gets home, I'll be taking out the trash.
Like a good boy.
Yes. Amazon has been very good to me, though, I have to say. I have a lot of films on there. I got a film that came out last year called Immortal, which is this drama thriller about these 4 different people that will not die. Huh. And it's got an incredible cast with Dylan Baker and Sam Levine and Tony Todd and Mario Van Peebles. And I played this guy who's a private investigator that deals in spyware. And I never played a part like that, so it was really fun. But all they said that he's intimidating and he has a very low voice. And I thought, well, I can do that. If I could play a plantation owner in Birth of a Nation, I can play, you know, a investigator.
I read that you received an award from the International Imperial Court for your activism. Talk a bit about that.
Oh, that's it. You really did your research. That was a couple years ago. I am the national co-chair of the Screen Actors Guild LGBTQ committee. I created it along with Duncan Crabtree Ireland in 2008. 2005, and I've been the co-chair for the last 16 years. And what we do is we do two things. We try to make it safe for openly gay actors to work, and then we also try to create opportunities. And I, you know, remember Jack Lemmon said something once, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, when you go up in the elevator of success, take people with you. And I think it's really important to do that in life. I really do.
So were you at a, did you receive the award at a coronation or?
It was just a thing. I went to San Francisco, stayed in a fancy hotel, and at the Gay and Lesbian Center there, they had this panel.
Ah.
The award on the panel, and oh god, who is the guy from Milk? Not Harvey Milk, his other guy.
Cleve Jones.
Cleve Jones was there, and
nice.
The Imperial. I can't believe I can't remember his name. This is what happens when you get older. And there were a lot of dignitaries there of San Francisco gay LGBTQ history.
Nice.
LGBTQ, LMNOP, HIJ,
LMNOP. Get them all.
You can't just say gay anymore. Or you could say queer. You know, we first were gay, then the lesbians wanted to leave us, and the bisexual, the trans people, you know, which are, it's a wide umbrella. Then more letters came, and then we all became queer. So we ran all the way around the block just so we could be queer. Queer is gay, so I don't
know. Right.
Ellen said, I'm gay. Yeah, yep, I'm gay. And she was gay. So why couldn't we all just be gay?
Right.
I wanted to change the name to Fabulous. What are you? I'm Fabulous.
Exactly. Also you work mentoring other comics through LifeWorks mentoring program.
I'm a comedian. I mentored all kinds of people. Been in a 12-step program 31 years in Al-Anon, and I mentored people through that. I mentored people through the LifeWorks mentoring program. People just sort of find me now. And I think that I had an assistant once that said, why do you take all these calls? I said, well, it only takes 5 minutes and it saves my life. It can't always be about me, and you have to give back. Like yesterday in my apartment complex, these two young gals moved in. They're 26. They're a lesbian couple, came from South Carolina, both very poor, moved here, became influencers, started making a lot of money. One of the gals, three kids, all from different husbands. The other one is, I guess she was very into basketball when she was younger, and now they're a lesbian couple with three kids. And they were talking about how now they're settled. I think now they know what they're doing. I said, look, you're 26. I have underwear. I have a suit that's older than you. Wear on speech that's you know. Came out on the Geraldo Show in 1993. That's 28 years ago. That's 2 years before you were born. You were young. You're young, and she's got all these tattoos. I said, you know, that's never going to come off. Your cheek, and I said, not her cheek, it's right next to her eye, and I said, you know, by the time you're my age, it's going to be on your cheek.
That's terrific.
I'm going to be getting tattoos when I'm in my 50s. I said, let me just tell you something, you're not. But you'll call me and tell me, and I'm gonna go, yeah, you're gonna be paying someone a lot of money to remove
So talk about some of your favorite TV performances. I know you were on Will and Grace, and
I have to say the thing that I was most I guess that changed my life was having a really great role in a feature film from Fox Searchlight, which was called The Birth of an Atheist. I played Joseph Randall, a white heterosexual Christian plantation owner in 1831. I played Joseph Randall, and he was a combination of a couple different terrible people. Three villains in the film: Jason Warner Smith, myself, and Jackie Earl Haley. Oscar nominee for Little Children, and people know him when he was a kid when he did The Bad News Bears. It starred Nate Parker, Penelope Ann Miller, and Roger Grandeur Smith, and Asia Naomi King. Everybody had names. Home in Domingo, he finally broke. And I was lucky enough to get this major supporting role 4 years ago in a film about black abolitionist Nat Turner. And Nat Turner, people don't know, was the first black man to fight against the white slave owners, which I was one of. And it really changed my life because it started to open my life. I've always been an incredibly liberal, free-to-be-you-and-me kind of guy. My father was a Holocaust survivor, not the camps, but the ghettos. My mom was from Brooklyn and really poor. And I really always wanted to do films that and television and theater that you go to and you sit in that room and all of a sudden you go in and you see something. And then when you're done seeing the work, you change your mind maybe, or you learn something in a different way that you didn't know. And people kept asking me all the time, how do you feel about this? I did tons of red carpets and interviews and premieres. We had so many, and film festivals. And people kept saying, what do you feel about this? And I said, look, first, I'm honored to be in this story. You know, just the idea that, you know, a liberal gay Jewish guy got cast in this part is a gift of God. And the idea that I could be in something where I could learn so much. So what I do is I take off my shoes, I put on the shoes of my black brothers and sisters, and I just shut up and I listen. The one thing that I've learned in the last couple of years is that my opinion is not always important when it comes to subjects that I am not, that is not me. And sometimes just to be of support and let people feel like they're heard is probably the most important thing you can do in life. And that's where mentoring came from. And so this has become a part of my life. That film changed me. It really did. Mm. And it brought me to a place where people like you are interested in talking to me in a bigger way. And also, I guess, what other thing? Well, The Closer was my favorite when I got to work with Kara Sedgwick, and I played this guy who was the manager of a storage facility and had found a dead body in a cooler. Art. And I guess when I played Dr. Thomas on My Wife and Kids, I did that. I had a recurring role with Damon Wayans and Tisha Campbell. I got to play a gay shrink, and when all the writer producers from Bruce Fine and Damon Wayans, Don Rio, and they all said, who's going to play this role? And they said, Jason Stewart. It was just offered to me. And I guess I'm in debt to Drew Carey. He gave me my first gig. Guest star on his show, playing a manager of an appliance department. I played a lot of managers. And Tangerine is one of my favorite films that I was in too. That's the film about the two trans women in A Day in the Life, directed by the brilliant Sean Baker. And I got to play Joey the doorman at the Hamburger Mary's, and I had a really nice part in that. And that sort of came from Closer and other things that I had done. Each part, I can tell the lineage of where it really.
Nice, nice. So, what's in the works for you? What's on the horizon?
We're doing the second season now of. We're doing the second season of Smothered. We're writing it. Mitch and I were on episode 6. We're only going to do 6. If people want to watch it, they just go to the smotheredtv.com. And you can watch it on all different, depending on what platforms you have. Because this time I wanted to make sure when I made something that everybody would get to see it, you know. And I wanted to make sure that everybody can get to see it, because during these times that it's so hard on everybody, you know, not everybody has a lot of money. And so I wanted to get, you know, if you go to YouTube, watch it. You can go to Amazon, you can watch it. If you want to give us some money, you can go to Apple TV, whatever, you know. You can watch it on there, or Reverie, which is the gay platform it's on, and the Amazon is the other. So we have it all over the place, and that's what I'm working on now, and auditioning, and I'm starting to do stand-up live. You know, I'm doing, of course, what's the name of the place I'm doing? It's in Napa.
Charles Krug Winery.
Charles Krug.
Yes.
Winery. I'm going to do a show there. I'm so excited.
Nice.
I've heard just incredible, and it's a beautiful place to do stand-up. So I'm really, really excited about doing this gig. I'm driving 1,000,000 miles to do it. usually do, but I'm doing it this time. And I will be bringing copies of Shut Up, I'm Talking, my autobiography. If you're not coming, you can buy it from my website or you can buy it from Amazon. And then I'm, what else am I doing? I'm actually going to be in your part of the country in July also, so at Alameda. So if they miss me, you know, in at the
Charles, winery.
If you're not able to, there's a date at the Alameda Comedy Club, which is a new one.
Nice. And you can get tickets for the June 18th show at crushersofcomedy.com or on the Sonoma County Pride website.
It's really, I've heard from all my other comedian friends that have done this event that it's an incredibly fun event for everybody. So I'm really looking forward to it. And Lisa, who runs it, is just absolutely my new bestie. I think she's
Mary. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I encourage everybody to come and I'll get to meet you in person. I'm so excited about seeing people.
Exactly. Real live people.
Yeah, real.
Who you're not related to or live next door to.
or who don't look the out, you know, and say, you know, keep the distance from you. they'll be a little touching, you know.
We look forward to it. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we'll see you out there June 18th at Charles Krug Winery.
And anybody want to contact me for social media, just go to my website, which is jasonstewart.com, S-T-U-A-R-T, Stewart. And I answer all my own stuff, so I'd love to hear from anybody. And I look forward to seeing you all at the Charles Krug Gallery.
Winery. Well, there might be a gallery, too.
I don't even know where I am.
Thanks, Jason. Take care.
Take care.
Okay.
Well, thank
you. Oh, sorry. On air, online, or on the go, you're listening to Radio 91, 91.1 KRFB-FM Windsor, and 90.9 K215CQ Santa Rosa. Writer E. Thornton Goode Jr.'s fourth book, Muarut, has just been released, and I'm thrilled to have him join us all the way from Mexico. Welcome to the show, Thornton.
Hey, Gary, how are you? And hello, folks.
I'm very good, thank you. So tell us a bit about your background, personal, educational, and professional.
Oh, wow. Going back, to give you an idea, I will be, in less than a month, I will be 6 years old. So I've lived quite a long time. And if you go back in history of what was going on with the gay community, 1969, you can only imagine the things that I had to confront, because when I was 24 in 1969, I had witnessed much in my life regarding the gay community. Well, when I went away to school, I studied art and architecture when I was in school. I also studied ceramic engineering. Finally graduated and got out of graduate school, and in 1970 moved to Atlanta and went to work for a company in Atlanta and was a member of that company for 11 years. And in 1981, they had finally put two and two together and got gay. And that was not let me go. They terminated me, indicating that I was that my work wasn't very good. Well, I took the letter to the unemployment office, and the lady read the letter, and she said, Mr. Goode, it says here it's unsatisfactory. How long did you work for this company? And I said, well, 7 years. And she said, oh, really? Why did it take them so long? Work was so unsatisfactory. And we just laughed, because she was totally on the clue bus. Well, that having happened, I did many wonderfully interesting things. I drove for a limousine service. I waited tables. I was a clerk in a seafood department of a major grocery store. And I did umpteen different other things. I even started my own company, a catering company. But anyway, yeah, that went on, and my last job was with Publix grocery store chain in Atlanta. It's a Southern grocery store supermarket chain. And I loved it. The company was an excellent company to work for. And I hired with them in 2013. And to give you an idea how wonderful they were, my district manager and the regional manager came in on my last day, which was a Sunday, but it was, and they came in to say goodbye and how much they appreciated my work and all of that. Well, in 2013, I had decided that we were going to retire. So because in 2005, I came down to Mexico to buy a lot down here. And what prompted that was a news report in 2004, the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. And that is what prompted the thing. He did a whole thing on the baby boomers and things they had done to retire. And one of the couples was they had moved to Mexico. So anyway, that prompted me to do the move to Mexico, because coming here, it was economics. I couldn't stay in Atlanta because my house, the property tax, were outrageous. They were $5,000 a year, getting ready to go to $100 a year. And me on Social Security, it would have been impossible to stay there and survive. Whereas down here, I have a big house with 400 feet from the ocean, and my property tax is $200 a year. Excuse me, are you on the clue bus?
So talk about when you first started writing and which authors, you know, early on sort of inspired you.
Oh, that really goes back to when I was in grade school, recess was a 30-minute time period. During recess, if it was five, my teachers would have me get in front of the class and tell stories. And I loved telling the stories, and I would talk about, look, the famous guy in the class, he was the captain of the ship, and the popular girl, she was the head stewardess or something like that. And have an event occur, and the people in the back of the class that were the ones, you know who I'm talking about, the people that were like the outcast kind, and I would bring them in and make them be the, fixed it and got it all fixed, and everybody would just stories. Well, that began it. And then when I finally, 1971, I started actually doing some major writing. And in 1972, I started writing The Two, which I call it my big book. I started writing it, and I was writing it until like about 1975, 76. Well, in 1977, I met a guy in a bar, and we were talking. He was another one. What have you been doing recently? I said, oh, well, I've been working on this book. And he said, well, story. I said, well, it's kind of long. He said, well, let's order some drinks. Tell me the story. So I did. And when I finished, now this is 1978, he said, that's a terrific story. Steven Spielberg needs to get hold of that. And I went, oh, gee, thanks for the kudos, but, you know, Steven Spielberg, it does its own stuff. Well, move forward, we'll jump forward because we're talking about the book. Jump forward to about 2011, and I happened to pull it out and was working on it again, and a friend of mine, I happened to be on Skype, a friend of mine, Hakim, who lives in Algeria, he teaches English at the university there. He said, Thornton, what have you been doing? I said, oh, I pulled out an old manuscript and I'm working. He said, oh, he says, if you send it to me, I'd like to read it. I'll edit it for you. I said, oh, cool, because editing is not cheap. So I sent it off, and about 2 weeks later, we were back on Skype again. He said, Thornton, he said, I read your story. It's wonderful. He said, Steven Spielberg needs to get hold of it. I said, isn't that interesting? 10,000 miles, 30 years apart, they're having the same opinion. Well, that book ended up being my second book published in January of 2012. But it was my first book, The Old Lighthouse, which I had been working on for a couple of years since the 90s and stuff like that. I had been working on it, and people heard the story and said, oh, Thornton, it's about two men. You need to have one of them be a woman. He said, it'll never fly. So I started rewriting again with the artist being a woman, and I said, oh, no, I can't do this because a woman would never do these things. So I started writing it back again as I originally had it. And then Brokeback Mountain came out and all of these other things. I said, okay, this stuff is being accepted now. So I left it as it is. Well, in about 2006, I wrote an email to my 10th 11th grade English teacher. Now, I still keep in contact with her. Yes. Now, remember, I'm going to be 76 years old. So she and I have been in contact for a very long time.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I sent it to her in 2005, I think it was, and waited, and because she said she wanted to read it. Well, a couple of months went by, and finally an email came in. She says, Thornton, here's my home phone number. Please call me. I want to talk to you about your book. And I'm getting a D in English. She hated it. But I finally got the courage to call her. And she said, Thornton, the reason it took me so long is because I started reading it and realized how good the story was. And she said, you have got to get this in print. Wonderful, wonderful story. And she said, by the way, your English is very... I said, well, I had a great teacher.
No.
So anyway, in 2007, The Old Lighthouse got published. And every book since then, I said, it's Mrs. Brakebill's fault. She's the one that did it. She made me do it. So yeah, that happened in 2007. Well, a couple of years have gone by, and I've been writing and writing and writing. By the way, I have 12 total completed novels, of which 4 are now in print. The third one to go in print happened in March of 2020, and it is 2 Portraits in Oil. And it is here again, it's a story about an artist, because most of my main characters are artists. And it is dedicated to my third partner, Julian, who happened to read in 2017, and he loved it. And he says, Thornton, I really, really like the story. I'm so glad. He started calling Boo, which is his character in the book, calls the me character in the book Boo. Well, I'm so glad that he got to read it. On Christmas Day in 2017, he passed away. And so the book is dedicated to him. Well, then I started working, bringing back Muralroot, and started working on it. And finally got it all prepped up and geared up, and it got published back in, what was it, April or early May of this year. And so it's ready to go. It's here again. It's about an artist. And in this book, in Muralroot, we bring out the things about Ouija boards and gypsy fortune tellers and psychic readers. And believe it or not, all of these things that are in my books are influenced by events and things that have happened in my own life. Because I went to a psychic reader way, way back in the early 1980s, and it made me about different things. She did something that just blew me away, that made me realize that she was not a fake, because we were sitting there talking, and she said, Thornton, someone coming through from the other side. I see her very, very clearly. It looks like a mother link. Is it your grandmother? And I said, oh, okay. Mother, my mother's mother. Okay. She said she was doing you, and she started describing stuff, and she turned and looked at me. She said, is her name Mary or Margaret? And I said, well, no. And she said, well, it's very interesting because I see her very clearly. And she is mouthing the letter him. And I went, oh my God. My grandmother's name was Emma, and everyone called her M.
Huh.
And I fell, almost fell out of the chair.
Wow.
Well, then she went into past like that. And as I say, all of these things and the event, these events that have occurred in my life and relationships and things that have happened in relationships, they have influenced storyline and characters in my books. And believe it or not, characters in my books, some of them are based on real people. And in the fronts of my novels, you will see pictures of people in the appreciation section, that these people have physical qualities and sometimes characteristics of characters in the book, and these people have allowed me to use the appreciation section so that the reader can see, because I have in pictures are worth 1,000 words, and if somebody sure they can say, oh, now I know what James looks like, or another character looks like in the book, so or the storyline. That's one thing that I've really liked to do, and I try to do in all of my novels. And since now 4 are published, I now have 8 more standing in line, ready to go.
So when you say ready to go, do you have outlines for them, or are they? Or have you already started to work
written
on each?
They're all written.
Oh, wow.
I've been working my butt off. Yes, I have. They're all written. And as a matter of fact, the next one, The Stranger from the Sea, actually, The Stranger from the Sea, The Quake, and It Happened in those take place here where I'm living in Mexico and have been influenced by Mexico and this area of Mexico. The Stranger from the Sea is written. I'm three other people looking at it right now because it's virtually ready to go, and it may go out as soon as the end of June.
Wow.
And then Seashell is going to go out, hopefully by maybe August or October. We'll see.
So are these books any of them a series? Are they connected in any way?
No.
No. Okay.
Totally different stories. But in Mortal Root, you are in Atlanta, because the story takes place, the guy that is telling the story, James, he's telling the story at a party. It's taking place in Atlanta. The Seashell takes place in Atlanta. Now, what happens is there's a restaurant in Atlanta that I used to go to, the Prince George, and I have fictitious people that are the waiter and the head, the man that greets you there, and the bartender and the piano player, are fictitious. But those things occurred in the Prince George, and the Prince George and the waiters that are named in several of these novels because of it's taking place in Atlanta. And some of these people go to this restaurant and meet the man who greets you at the door, the host, and all of these things, and Jake, the bartender, and Patrick, the piano player. These people show up, but they're not main characters. They just happen to be associated because of the time period and stuff that take place, because you're in Atlanta.
Wow. So talk a bit about your creative process. Do you sort of outline a book first? Do you do character sketches? Do you write every day at a set period of time?
It's crazy. Like, for instance, The Old Lighthouse. The Old Lighthouse happened, it was a dream, a little pieces of a dream that I had. When I started writing it, I said, okay, this is going to be about two men. I'm going to give Gordon Merrick a run for his money. Now, for those of you who do not know who Gordon Merrick is, he is the great gay porn writer. I did it as pornography. Well, I got into it and realized, geez, no way. This story's too good to be pornography. I'm going to write this as a legitimate friendship relationship story. And so I said, well, Gordon Merrick is just I can't give Gordon Merrick a run for his money for this. So anyway, but yeah, I have sometimes just sitting, all of a sudden something comes into my head. And one of my short stories occurred. I was asleep and woke up at 3 o'clock, and I came running out and I wrote something down just to remember it. I never know when something's going to events that, as I say, that have occurred in my life sometimes fall into place and enhance the storyline because of what has happened. And I will tell you, also I have been influenced by old movies from the 1940s and 50s, the old love story movies. I have been influenced by some of the old writers, like the Bronte sisters, and some of these other people Jane Austen. And what's really funny is one of my friends who has read several of my novels, he said, Thornton, you are the gay Jane Austen. Wow! I love Jane Austen. I said, that's a huge compliment. And my English teacher, Mrs. Breakville, when she read The Old Lighthouse, she paid me another huge compliment, knowing that I'm an artist. She said, Thornton, you paint with words. And she said, your description is so amazing that if it's reading these stories, they are there. And seeing an event that's going on, they are there. And I will tell you also, J.R.R. Tolkien, I loved his books and his stories. I started reading 1967, 68, and I was so influenced by his stories that I did 50 pen and inks. And Gary, I'll have to send an email with those picture drawings. You can see them. I did 50 pen and inks from whole set of novels, of three books, so that you can see scenes and events and things that are happening throughout the whole novel from the beginning, which is Bilbo, you know, the bag end, all the way to the very, very end, the last scene when the ship is sailing out into the ocean. And I even contacted Tolkien.
Wow.
About the drawings and sent some of them, and his secretary wrote me back and he said, Thornton, your drawings, he said, but he's working on the Silmarillion right now, and so I just let it go. Well, later on I contacted his lawyer, since he had passed away, and because I had great intentions of publishing the drawing as, like, for instance, a coffee table book or something like that. But the family would not allow me to quote that I have in the drawings.
Oh, so right. If
I ever wanted to get them published, I would have to block the direct quotes and just say that this is from chapter one or chapter eight, you know, blah, 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 story. And so that's how I would do it, but I've never gotten around to doing that with the drawings. But yeah, I have been influenced by a lot of authors from the past and from old love movies, the old love stories out of the 40s and 50s, because in my books there is no gratuitous sex, and Mrs. Breakville even said it. She said, you have left all of that to the reader's imagination. And she said, I'm very glad you did it, because now the reader gets the sense of the real relationship between the two characters. And I try to do this in all of my writings, that you are influenced by the feelings and the true relationship between the characters, so that sex does not explain it at all. You get a sense that something may have happened or occurred, but it's not any, it's not pornography. No, if you're expecting pornography, forget it. No. So, yeah, but if you're familiar with the stories of Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice that she wrote, and the way the storyline goes, and you see the relationship between the characters and how they feel towards one another and the love of one another, that is the kind of sense that I have tried to get across in all of my novels.
That's great. So we just have a few minutes left. What advice would you have for budding writers out there about, you know, achieving what you've achieved?
Oh, it's very, very important to write what you know. My writing teacher said, but you know. Also, if you're doing anything related to an event, it must be true. It must be correct. You cannot have things happening before their time. For instance, you can't have cell phones existing in 1975. They didn't exist. So you have to have things correct like that. And it is extremely important. You must not have bad English or spelling errors and stuff like that. Now, in dialogue, yes, you can, because people do not speak in perfect. But when you're in descriptive lines and stuff like that, you must have correct English grammar, etc., and your spelling. Make sure that that's correct. Grammarly is a very good program to use for checking for and things like that. I use that program.
Oh, nice. How can folks purchase all of your terrific novels?
The first two books are available at www.buybooksontheweb. That's all one word, buybooksontheweb.com. It is with Infinity Publishing. The other ones, the other two, you can get them at www.iuniverse.com. They are the publishing company. You also may obtain them, I understand, through Amazon, but I have this thing going on with Amazon. They have, believe it or not, they have the two available for like $900, and I have and I said, I'm the author of that book. You can't be selling it for $900. Nobody is going to buy it. So, you know, I have this thing going on with Amazon.
Oh,
so I've been promoting the publishing companies.
The other publishing
you
companies.
You can get the books, I understand, through Amazon.
Okay. Thornton, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Best of luck with all of your novels, and please come back when your other books are published, and we'll chat further.
Gary, thank you so very much for having me. I truly appreciate it. And everyone out there, please take care and stay well and stay safe.
All right.
Bye-bye from Mexico.
Thank you for listening. Please listen to Outbeat Radio every Sunday evening. You can also listen to previous shows at outbeatradio.com. Mary and I will return to the studio for a live show June 20th. Have a fantastic week and good night.